Welcome to Luke 21 Radio, a broadcast explaining biblical prophecy in the tradition of St. Augustine. And now, from Greenville, South Carolina, here's your host, Steve Wood.
Hello, I am Steve Wood, and welcome to Luke 21, and let's join together and study some biblical prophecy. Again, we're in the book of Thessalonians, the two epistles, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and today we are going to be looking at the presence of the Messianic Kingdom in Thessalonica. And you're going to find this is going to perhaps open some real doors of understanding for you as we look at this. To understand the message that Paul was sharing and what happened as a result in Thessalonica, we need to go back to the context in Acts chapter 17 that very briefly describes what was going on in Thessalonica. And it says this, the whole city was in an uproar, okay? And would we wish that our cities were in an uproar after the proclamation of the gospel? It isn't today, but in any case, they dragged Jason and some of the brethren before the city authorities, crying, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also." How did they turn the world upside down? They are all acting against the decrees of Caesar, who claimed to be emperor of the world, saying that there is another king, Jesus. This is the context that's often forgotten when you look at 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. A lot of people want to understand an aspect of prophecy, so they run to a particular verse and such, and they don't get the full picture. And the kingdom is the key to what is being described and what is happening in this early, early, early church. Now, what I find amazing, and I must admit, I missed this for years, but the pagan citizens in Thessalonica knew more about biblical prophecy than millions of Christians do today. You might say, that is outrageous. Well, really? How many Christians today, when you say, well, what's the gospel about? Does anything regarding the kingdom, the Messianic kingdom, come to pass? And what the city was in uproar about wasn't that there was a religion in Thessalonica. There were many religions. Not that they were having religious services. No bother. But there was a message of God's kingdom that had turned the world upside down, making it right side up. I want to share with you two key concepts of biblical prophecy today. There's more, but these are two biggies. And it's this. Number one, the Messianic Kingdom, which I've been talking about already, is what we also call in theology the millennium. The millennium is the Messianic Kingdom. And the popular rapture view is that the millennium or the Messianic Kingdom, and you just look at timelines of those who believe in the rapture at any moment view, this is something in the future that comes to earth after the second coming of Christ. And yet it's clear as a bell from the New Testament. You read the Gospels. In fact, before you even get to Jesus, you have John the Baptist. What did he go around preaching? The kingdom is at hand. And then when Jesus begins his public ministry, first things out of his mouth, the kingdom. What about the entire book of Acts? Because the rapture at any moment view says, no. Now's the church age, and in the future is the kingdom age. And everybody acknowledges that the book of Acts is about the church, but the church age is also the Messianic kingdom age. Look at the very end of the book of Acts, the last chapter, chapter 28, and verse 23 is a summary of what Paul was teaching. Now in Acts 28, he is in Rome, probably in the building complex for the emperor of the king of the world, and this is what was going on. They had appointed a day for him, and people came to him at his lodging in great numbers, and he expounded the matter to them from morning to evening. What matter? Testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and the prophets. You see, what Paul was doing was saying what was prophesied in the Old Testament regarding the kingdom has surprisingly invaded the present. Nobody was expecting the kingdom to come in the way it did. Now, in the future, after the second coming of Christ, there'll be the completion of the kingdom. But between now and then, there is a little phrase, and this is the second thing I want you to know. First is the messianic kingdom is the what we call the millennium. But second, in biblical prophecy, particularly these prophecies that St. Paul was expounding from morning till night, testifying about the kingdom of God from the Old Testament prophecies, for that, there is a dynamic that is called already and not yet. Not yet is kind of easy to understand, and this is how the Jews understood those Old Testament prophecies. They saw that when the Messiah would come, everything wrong in the world would be righted, and that the prophecies would come to fulfillment, the messianic kingdom. And there is a not yet. We wait until Christ comes a second time, till all opposition to his kingdom is extinguished, eradicated forever, and he comes in perfection with his kingdom. But already the kingdom is at work. This is the huge mistake that's made by so many Christians today, thinking it's not yet. It's everything's not yet, when the kingdom was already at work, active in Thessalonica. I want to show you how from a single verse in 1 Thessalonians. But first, let's look at the law and the prophets and see what they prophesied. In Isaiah chapter 2, it says, in the last days, it'll come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established at the highest of mountains, prominence. That's Isaiah 2. Verse 3, and many peoples shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he, God himself, may teach us his ways, that we might walk in his paths. This is the key. And by the way, if you're a parent, a priest, a catechist, a deacon, a scout leader, a coach, anybody catechizing anybody to become a disciple of Christ, the key is to have a certain level of teaching that God is involved in pressing his ways on the human heart, not just simply kind of an external information type learning environment, but one that's transformative. And there's a second verse like this in Isaiah, and these are very important. First is Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3. Now we're going to go to Isaiah 54 and verse 13. It says, all your sons shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the prosperity of your sons. Taught by the Lord. This is the key. This is a messianic promise, because in the Old Testament, things didn't work well. They were given the truth, the revelation by God, but they couldn't fulfill it because it was external to them. The law was written on stone tablets. In the New Covenant, Jeremiah and Ezekiel tell us that the law would be imprinted in the human heart. This is what this is talking about, taught by the Lord. And it's very interesting. By the way, I read all kinds of stuff on biblical prophecy. I like to see what others are saying and try to understand others' perspectives. And this came out of an evangelical commentary on Isaiah 54:13, and the person writing it was of the rapture at any moment perspective, which also saw that the millennial kingdom was yet future, okay? And I agree with almost everything what he said about Isaiah 54:13. He said this, in the millennium, the children will be taught by the Lord himself. I agree with everything in that sentence except one thing, the tense of the verb. His verb tense is future. In the millennium, children of God, God's kids, covenant kids, will be taught by the Lord himself. Now we go to 1 Thessalonians, one verse, and believe me, this should kind of blow certain things out of the water if you understand what's going on here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9, but concerning love of the brethren, you have no need to have anyone write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. Have been taught by God. Have been. And it's very interesting. Kind of wish you could see this, but I'm looking at the Septuagint of Isaiah 54:13. And there's two Greek words in there. It's the Greek word to be taught and then God in those two words. And in 1 Thessalonians 4:9, St. Paul takes those two words and make them into one word. When in English, when it says taught by God, those three words are actually one word in Greek. And I have this very comprehensive Greek dictionary, the most comprehensive Greek dictionary that's ever been done in the world. It's over 9,000 pages, and they scour secular Greek, the Old Testament Greek, the New Testament Greek, and every Greek word they could think of. And guess what? No one has been able to find the word that St. Paul uses, God taught, right here in 1 Thessalonians 4:9. Why did these pagans turn from a pagan, degenerate lifestyle to worship the living God and start living a moral life? It's not because they had some whippy-doo conference. It's not because they had some glorious religious textbook. They had been taught by God. The power of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Messianic kingdom was fulfilling this prophecy, and they were taught by God. This is the key to evangelism. This is the key to discipleship. It's the very heart of the new covenant where God is going to transform the heart by teaching directly to the inner core of the person. And what happens is that not just information, and you need information. St. Paul was giving information, but it was almost like a confirmation. Prior to that, with the proclamation that there is a king that has come to earth that's greater than Caesar, and that his kingdom demands faith and allegiance, and he'll forgive you, and as a result of that, he will teach you in a way that you are transformed. And a lot of people are asking today, what's happening to my kids? This is happening to Protestant parents, Catholic parents, priests, pastors. You know, my child went through all this Christian education and just seems numb to the faith. Well, you need people taught by God, mom and dad, to teach your children a way that they're taught by God. God taught. This is what the Messianic kingdom promised, and it was going on and has been going on, and it's been available for 2,000 years, not just the future. It's already and not yet. I'm Steve Wood, your host, and thank you for joining me on Luke 21.
Luke 21 is a radio outreach of Family Life Center International. Visit us online at luke21.com.